The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here we go, Jeff Saturday. Throw your damn pancakes in the trash can.
It's been 2 years since I've seen this big fella.
Woo! I would jump up and celebrate,
up,
but my pants are too tight and they would rip.
They are. I can confirm.
Y'all, I'm nervous as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got all of this space for me to act the fool.
Zach Martin's going to be out. What, y'all acting like y'all were going to win even if he were there? I mean, this is unbelievable to me.
They're going
to
get blown out Thursday night, aren't they?
No,
They're going to get blown out.
We're going to talk about other stuff in this show other than the Cowboys, getting blown out.
Yeah. I wouldn't guarantee that.
Oh!
You just took one of the jugglers.
I'm pissed. He's hit.
Tampa by 3 touchdowns. You do know that, no? Okay.
What's next?
Marcus is now ignoring me. The Bears quarterbacks should be Andy Dalton 1 and Nick Foles 2.
I 100% agree.
You need to jump in the same damn boat with Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
And y'all go with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton and me and Justin Fields to chill out and watch the Bears lose.
Perfect. All right, so we agree. I'm right.
Y'all just hug it out, man.
Yep.
Go ahead and get it. There you go.
So much fun here this week and delighted every time you choose to get up with us. And right now, time to get your eyes checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Did you see that? White Sox and A's. Watch this foul ball. It's going to wind up in the fanny pack. that is just a remarkable thing. I love when things like that happen. I don't know how they do. That's a person trying to make the catch. The oversized fanny pack winds up with the ball instead. But that's the kind of thing that never happens to me.
One in a million shot, Doc.
That's why you bring the fanny pack, right? To catch the foul
right?
ball.
Yeah.
Good, or the home
good
run.
Thing for the fanny pack.
Same thought that I had. Yeah. I would have been in an entirely different position if that ball had come in my direction and the same circumstances had applied. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. And if there's an extra spring in our step, it's because the night was unbelievable. We're live here at the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And let's go. It is time to get up after an absolute kickoff classic. It was good to the final play, complete with a controversial call. Oh, what a night it was, and we're all over it. We had Tampa Tom. He was terrific. Could he be en route to his best season ever at age 44? His offense looks scary good, and so does he. But it was Dak who was back and truly better than ever. Was that the best performance of his career? We're wall to wall on a football Friday, which rolls on right now. With the first game of the season, you couldn't ask for more. Tom Brady and the Bucs at home celebrating last year's championship and turning the page and taking on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. You know all the history and all the things stacked up against Dallas. Second series, Brady and the Bucs, they get it working. Antonio Brown, he's comfortable down the field. That's a 28-yard gain. And then Sacho, later in the drive, they're in business. And it's Chris Godwin in for the score.
Yes, Tom Brady was wheeling and dealing. Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin. It didn't matter who was getting it. Somebody was going to get it.
9 catches, 105 yards for Godwin. That's the first touchdown of the season. But Dak would respond. How about CeeDee Lamb, Sacho, in the corner of the end zone?
Yes, CeeDee played a really good game. He had a drop later on, but he played a phenomenal game.
In the meantime, Tampa Bay now rolling. Let me get Rob Ninkovich in here. Brady and the Bucs inside the 5. And these are 2 former teammates, Brady to Rob Gronkowski.
What a connection. I mean, Tom, the Gronk, do the spike. There it is. They've done it a few times.
Yeah, that was their 99th time doing it. Bucs up 14-7. But then turnovers, the story of this game for the Buccaneers. They turned it over 4 times, and that helped Dallas stay in it. That's Ronald Jones with the fumble, DeMarcus Lawrence punching it out, and Sacho, Amari Cooper cashing in.
Yes, tiptoeing down the sideline. Bad snap, it didn't matter. Dak Prescott had it all covered.
13 catches, 139 yards for Cooper in that touchdown. PAT no good, so Cowboys down 14-13 after a turnover and a field goal by Dallas. Bucs are down 2, but no problem. Look at Antonio Brown.
Yes, AB, he averaged 24.2 yards a catch. He was in mid-season form.
5 catches, 121 for him. Brady, 213 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half. But Dak, throwing over the middle. CD can't hang on, and that's Carlton Davis with the pick.
Yes, another CD. CD threw his hands, other CD. Carlton Davis got the pick. That was a great play.
That one's not on the quarterback. That one clearly should be caught by CD Lamb, but instead it's going the other way. And here comes Brady facing a 3rd and 6 from the 11. Hey, Ninko, there's Gronk again.
Come on, Gronk. Do the spike. There it is. The chemistry there, we've seen it in the past. They're continuing on with that chemistry.
It's his second of the night. It's the 100th connection for the two of them in their career. But Dak not going away. That's Cooper in the corner of the end zone. Dak would throw 3 touchdowns on the night. Dallas cuts it to 28-26. Same score, 4th quarter. We talked about the turnovers. Sacho, this one's in the red zone.
Yes, helmet on the football. Ball's out. We got to get it. And that was what kept the Cowboys in the game. 4 takeaways versus the 1 from Tampa. This is what was going to give them a win.
Yes, Tampa had the opportunity to put the game away there. Instead, Dallas gets their chance, and now we're inside the 2-minute warning, and this is CD Lamb making moves. It's a 31-yard gain, and that would set this up. 1.5 minutes left. Greg Zuerlein was having a rough night. He had missed 2 field goals and an extra point. But with Jerry Jones watching on nervously, this is from 48 yards away from Zuerlein, and it's good. Dallas 29, Tampa 28, but hold everything. Look at the expression on the face of Tom Brady. You think he's worried? He knows what he's got to do. Just under 50 seconds left. The first one's to Gronk at 20 yards. He had 8 catches on the night. The second one is the big one. This is the controversial play. Sacho, let's talk about it. Chris Godwin for 24 yards. Should this have been pass interference?
No, it should not have. It was a close call. You could call it either way, but it should not have. Critical play. You got to make a play.
Ninko, take another look at it here. Extension of the arm. Should that be OPI?
No, he didn't fully extend, and the Oscar goes to the defender.
Okay, with no call made, the Buccaneers are set up for this. 36 yards from Ryan Succop, and it's good. There's your game winner. What a thriller. 31-29 Tampa. Dak threw for 403 yards. Brady, 4 touchdowns. The champs are 1-0.
A lot of games come down to 2 minutes on both sides of the football. Came down to the offense tonight. We needed to get out there and do something for the team to help us win, and we got to put ourselves in a position, and then Ryan made the kick. So that makes it really good when the ball goes through the uprights.
Being down in a game, 2 points, and knowing that you're going to have an opportunity to go back out there and play, just that resiliency. Missed that feeling that sparked up in me and the fire that it had that, there wasn't a part of this game or a moment that I took for granted.
I mean, you really can't overstate how good the quarterback play was in this game. It's just the 4th time in history that both quarterbacks had 350 or more passing yards and 3 touchdowns in a season opener. And you see a lot of illustrious names and some that are perhaps a little less so. But add Brady and Dak to that list. And Ryan Clark with us this morning. And so let's start with Dak Prescott. All the conversation that we've had leading up over these last 6 weeks. Is the ankle going to be okay? Is the shoulder going to be okay? He doesn't have his best offensive lineman. He may have played the best game of his career last night. What do you want to say first things first about Dak Prescott last night?
That Dak Prescott played like a rich man. And I don't mean a rich man that has nothing else to gain. I mean a rich man that has everything at his fingertips. A rich man who was listening to Rod Wave before the game in Polo G when Rod Wave said, "I'm richer than I ever been." When you looked at Dak, he looked ultimately comfortable. He looked ultimately confident. And when he said that he felt like he'd see Tom Brady down the road, that wasn't just hyperbole. That wasn't just Dak Prescott talking. That was Dak Prescott believing in himself and believing in his team. For what he saw last night, with what he could do with those offensive players, I thought it was absolutely amazing. And so many times we get on this show and we go back and forth. And obviously, my homeboy Dominique Foxworth is the leader of the Dak Prescott, fan club. I'm asking to be the vice president. He played at an elite level last night, and so did Tom Brady. But if I had to pick a quarterback from last night's game to lead me into the future, and that future being 2021, I picked Dak Prescott. He was poised. He was calm. He showed leadership on the sideline, and he showed a fortitude that we haven't seen him have to show through adversity. Injury, no practice, best quarterback on the field, best player for the Dallas Cowboys. I can't wait to see what he does the rest of the season.
Yeah, look, I feel like Dak has been something of a polarizing person since he came in the league, just because there's the debate. Is he good or is he great? Did he elevate himself last night? Did he, in the minds of people who thought he was merely good, did he change their minds last night?
Yes, and I'll be the assistant vice president on this one because, listen, last night he won me over. I'll go get a number four jersey right now, and I'll rock that thing because what he did last night to me was impressive. I was sitting at a local pub all by myself. Yes, I asked for one menu. The person said, oh, that's sad. And I walked in. I sat down by myself. I was watching this game. I probably shouted six or seven times on how good he was and what a game he played, put together, the confidence, the ability to go out there and just lead that offense down the field multiple times, the perfect throws, very impressive with having the injury, having the other things that have happened to him. His mental toughness, his physical skill set is very impressive, and he's the quarterback for Dallas for a long time.
Yeah, and that's what people say. Like, football, you be around the greats. People say football is 90% mental, right? And so, like, Dak has done the physical part. Now it's the mental part. He's got to this level of saying, I am the best quarterback, and I've proved it. And so he does that over and over again. Now all of a sudden, he goes from good to great. He goes from average to elite.
What did you see last night, Dan? And when you consider, again, all the conversations that we've had about all the things that were stacked up against him.
I feel like we're still having an argument that should have been settled by now. Well, you know, we want to be president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, whatever you want to be, the Dak Prescott Finkel. He's a great quarterback, one of the best in the league. And Sacha, if we're at the point where all that matters is the mental, then I'm betting on Dak Prescott every time. I mean, this guy's been through some stuff in his life that's bigger than football, and he's gotten through it, and he's gotten to a point in his career where he's at the very top of what he does. So if he's fully healthy and it's just about a mental adjustment, then I think the rest of the league's in a lot of trouble.
You know, and I know it in the scheme of all the different things that were stacked up against him last night, it's a small thing. But when he actually runs out onto the field for the first time last night, he's backed up inside his own 5-yard line. I turned to my son. I said, this could not possibly have started worse for him, and he couldn't have looked better literally from the first play to the last. That said, Ryan Clark, one of the reasons that Dak Prescott had to be so good last night is that the other star in that offensive backfield, Zeke Elliott, had a very quiet night. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say he didn't do anything because we had a debate over how good his pass blocking was. But generally speaking, he was not the dominant running back that we are expecting to see. Is that a formula for success for the Dallas Cowboys?
You know what? I don't think it's a formula for success for them. I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys can turn into the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Or what we've seen some of these teams turn into with the elite quarterbacks, because you do fall in love with what Dak Prescott did last night. But this team has to run the football. This team has to be able to get into the play action pass. They have to at some point have 8-man boxes. And if you don't, if they're going to continue to play you outside one-on-one, then Dak Prescott has to kill. It's going to take Kellen Moore to come to the point to say, you know what, Ezekiel Elliott has to be more of a part of our game plan. It can't be like Nico said in hour one, I got to show everybody how innovative I can be. I have to show everybody how much I can throw it around the field. Because you know what you have to show people in order to be a head coach? You got to show people you know how to win. And last night, a way to win was to give Ezekiel Elliott the ball, was for Ezekiel Elliott to churn out yards. And so it's either one or two things. The one thing is, Kellen Moore is like, the hell with winning if I can't win my way. Or Ezekiel Elliott is no longer the top tier running back that we thought he was or expected him to be when he got $90 million. And if that's the case, it's time to move on. You don't pay for a dude like that for him to be a great pass blocker. You pay for a dude like that for him to be a great running back, for him to be all pro, for him to be a pro bowler, for him to be the reason why you win. And last night, he was none of those things.
I hate it when I feel like I have to educate Ryan Clark about football because that's so backwards to me, right? Like, a lot of times, Ryan, offensive game planners will change the game plan based on the opponent week to week. And I think that's what we're going to see with the Dallas Cowboys. You don't run the ball on Tampa Bay. What Tampa Bay wanted them to do was run Ezekiel Elliott at Vita Vea all night. So they came up with a pass-heavy game plan. And if we're sitting here a month from now and he's still running the ball 11 times a game, we can have this conversation. But I think this was about last night and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers specifically.
I know people I know people have to talk. I understand that, right? Well, what happens is this, though. Years don't carry over. Because a team was number one last year, no matter who they're returning, it doesn't mean that they'll be the number one run defense this year. Like, it doesn't mean that the Los Angeles Rams will be the number one defense in the world. The thing is about your game plan. The thing that great teams do is they dictate to you. And obviously, we talk about the New England Patriots and how they morphed and how they did all these things each and every week based on who they were playing. That's not what I see from Kellen Moore. Because if we're going to talk about Kellen Moore, if we're going to talk about watching the tape, if we're going to talk about the analytics, this pass rush and this pass defense was what helped and allowed this team to win in the playoffs. It was the turnovers created by the secondary. It was the turnovers created by the rush. So if I've watched this all season, there's no way I come into this game and say, you know what? We're never going to run the ball. We're going to put our quarterback who was injured and who didn't play in camp at all at harm's risk 63 times. I just don't feel like that's the thing. I feel like Kellen Moore wants to run offense this way, and I don't feel like this offense can win championships in that manner.
Yeah, RC, you said something there. You said that years don't carry over, but players do, and as do coaches. And Todd Bowles, the defenses that he coaches and the players that are back on those teams are the number one rushing defense, not just in last year in 2020, but also in 2019, right? And I played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Todd Bowles in 2019. This dude is literally on the sideline calling the play, the offensive play before it happens. He calls plays to put defenses, to put offenses in negative positions. And so when it comes to running the ball, I think that Kellen Moore did a phenomenal job for this week and this game plan. You play to win the game. Kellen Moore is not trying to show anybody off. He's just trying to win the game.
But before
this
win.
Team that they were playing, they were trying to
win.
Yeah, but they put themselves in a position to win. But if you like Zeke averaged 3 yards a carry, just like
defense.
Everybody else against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's rushing defense is the best because of Todd Bowles and all of those players.
Ask all the Green Bay fans how much Mike McCarthy likes to run the ball also. I mean, he's not the only person. Kellen Moore's not the only person calling offense there. If I had told you before this game last night, Ninko, that Ezekiel Elliott was going to have 39 yards from scrimmage total, what would you have told me was going to happen?
No, because we thought that they were going to run the ball to help Dak. But in this game plan, this certain game plan, and coaches, head coaches especially, are in those positions to game plan week by week according to what they are going to face. And they were facing a great defense with a great running game. So guess what? Dak looks great. We know he can throw the ball now. We got a great offensive line. We're healthy. We're missing one of our key pieces on this offensive line, which would help the running game. But they protected Dak. He went out there. He performed. And now moving forward, whoever they face, they're going to have to be prepared for the running game and a Dak that can throw for 403 yards.
Hold this thought 1 second. I'm coming back
What's
to it. I promise.
Difference?
I'm coming right back to this, RC. I promise. I have to take a break here, but we will come right back to this conversation. That's the question. Dak threw it 58 times last night. Is that a recipe for failure going forward? We will answer that. Plus, we're going to do this. We have Stephen A. on his way with his perspective on the Cowboys' loss. He's live in 15 minutes. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Thursday night, starting the season off. I think this is what the NFL and the world needs.
There's a lot of big games, but the first biggest game of the year is Thursday night.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay, the first of 2021.
Prescott's first touchdown since last October.
What an answer by Brady in the box.
Godwin fumbled the ball. Recovered by Lewis in the end zone. For the lead.
Cowboys take the lead by one. Back shoulder throw and he makes the snag on his hip. The kick by Sucka. It is good. The Buccaneers defending the Super Bowl championship.
An absolute thriller last night to kick off the NFL season and to sort of pick up the point we were just getting to. In the last three games that Dak Prescott has started and finished, he has been throwing at a remarkable rate. He has thrown 58, 58, and 57 passes. His 42 completions last night were the most in week one games since at least 1950. But the point of the conversation, as I bring everyone back in here, is about the fact that they just didn't even barely try to run the football. And RC, I'm working with you. I'm kind of on RC's side. Green Bay, during Mike McCarthy's tenure, ran the ball 31st in the league out of 32 teams. Mike McCarthy offenses don't run the football. They don't try to. So I don't know. Maybe last night was at least partially a function of the team that they were playing against. But I think it is also a function of what we should expect this offense to look like with Mike McCarthy as the head coach.
Yeah, they're not going to go to a run-centric offense in 2021. But that's different from saying Ezekiel Elliott is washed up or he's not going to be a part of them scoring points. I mean, he's going to be a factor in the offense. He's too good a player not to be. Last night, they weren't going to run. It would have been stupid of them to run. And everybody was on board with that, including Zeke picking up all those blitzes.
RC.
I just don't understand. I don't understand how people I love so much can be such hypocrites. Last year, when the Dallas Cowboys were terrible and his defense was terrible, all we talked about was, yeah, Dak Prescott looks great, but he's throwing for all of these yards and his team still sucks. They don't win football games. But now, all of a sudden, coming into this year, because it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and because the Dallas Cowboys looked good and stayed in the game and had an opportunity to win, that this was just the play call for this week. This is just what they were doing for this week because they were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't buy that. I don't buy that Ezekiel Elliott is going to become a bigger part of this offense moving forward. And nah, I agree with you, Dan. I don't think he's washed up. And I do look at him last night, and he did look quick, and he did look explosive at times. I'm just mad about the one play when you can't make one stinking guy miss and get into the end zone. But my point is this. Running backs have to get into a rhythm. Running backs have to feel like a part of the game plan. And if this was the game plan the entire week, Ezekiel Elliott knew that he was going to be an extra lineman. Ezekiel Elliott might as well have come in the game, did his jersey like this to let the referee know, hey, it's an extra lineman in the game. I'm at an eligible number. You can't win games throughout this season for a 17-game stretch that way. You're not good enough on defense. And I know we keep saying they're better on defense. That's because last year they were atrocious. They were like the worst in history. They still gave up 29 and they got four turnovers. And so the fact that we're like, I'm going crazy just sitting here listening to y'all say this is okay and it's just one week and they keep rapping me in my ear, but I can't rap because I'm so damn heated and it's just week one.
Sacho, he's heated, but the numbers are the numbers. Again, the Green Bay Packers, when Mike McCarthy was their head coach, ran the ball less frequently than any team in the league besides the Lions, and part of that is because the Lions were always way behind. What I'm trying to tell you is I think we should expect the offense to look a lot like this with Mike McCarthy as the coach.
I don't. What I think is that when you watch this game, you say, okay, if I'm game planning, I'm thinking, how can I win? Like, okay, yes, stars shine, all the things. We got all these, but how can I win? How can I give my team the best chance to win? And yes, we all understand the Dallas Cowboys didn't win the game. They lost by two, but that play that you saw, RC, Andrew Adams making that tackle in the goal line, like that was a four-point swing. That was the reason why the Cowboys, could be the reason why the Cowboys didn't win. Obviously, there's some missed field goals, right? So you think about, I want to put my team in the best position to win the game. I'm not going to try and run against Vita Vea or Ndamukong Suh or JPP or better yet, Todd Bowles coach defense. And so yes, they didn't win, but it's not about feeding this guy the rock. Like you saw what they did to Christian McCaffrey last year before the injury. You saw what they did to any good back. No one runs against Tampa Bay. No one runs against Todd Bowles. And so I think it was a phenomenal game plan.
Let me get Nico in here on this. Yep. What do you think?
They were one play away. This game came down to one play, and they would have won the game. So if they would have lost by two touchdowns or three, and everyone would have been like, see, look at terrible game plan. They didn't run the ball. They didn't do this. Dak looked terrible. They were one play away from winning this game. And at the end of the day, in this league, it's all about one play. And they made it a game. They made this game. From the start to the finish to the last field goal, it was
That's a
game.
That's what we're going to start doing. Oh, they made it a game.
I love you too,
okay,
RC.
I got it now, Nico. I got it now, Nico. You got freaking Super Bowl rings, and now you're one of those guys.
I didn't say anything about my rings.
Sacho and Dan Graziano and freaking monks and losers. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me show you one special thing that happened last night here, and then we have Stephen A. on his way in coming up shortly. But last night was the 47th annual Hockey Heroes game, which was the NYPD against the FDNY. And prior to the game, both teams paying tribute to all the first responders who were lost on 9/11 and in the years since then due to 9/11-related illnesses. An extremely emotional night. The names of all the first responders lost were displayed on the Jumbotron as bagpipes were playing. The FDNY, by the way, would wind up winning the game 7-4, taking home the trophy. It was a game that you were able to watch on ESPN2, and just a special night all the way around. All right, we'll pause on that thought. Coming up, did last night's performance by the Cowboys change Stephen A.'s opinion of them? He will join us live coming up in just a moment. And we've got Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Here it comes. Which quarterback threw for the most yards in any game head-to-head against Tom Brady, regular season or playoffs? That's the question. We'll go in search of the answer next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and Dan Graziano, here we go. Dak Prescott threw for over 400 yards last night, but which quarterback has thrown for the most yards in any game head-to-head against Tom Brady?
I don't have this one. I got a million guesses bouncing around my head. My first thought was Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, but I don't think he got to 400. I'm thinking about Super Bowl. I'm just going to guess Eli Manning. Brady nemesis Eli Manning.
It's a pretty good guess. There's another nemesis of a different age bracket. It's Patrick Mahomes last year. Week 12 threw for 462 yards.
Good one.
Against Tom Brady. And so score that one for Hembo. That
one
seemed fair, 34-26. So Hembo is happy, but he's not the happiest person in the building. Do you know who is the happiest person?
I do know.
In the building. That would be one Stephen A. Smith, who is
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Triumphantly into our studio, Stephen A. with his analysis of this. In just a moment here, Steve, let's take a look at the highlights last night. We've gone through it again, but for those just getting up and seeing it, Cowboys and Buccaneers, and what a classic we had in the opener. Just going to pick it up with the fourth quarter highlights, Brady versus Dak, and it was spectacular. 2 minutes left, Dak down, Prescott, C.D. Lamb, 31-yard gain, Cowboys in business. That would, with a minute and a half left, set up Greg Zuerlein, who had missed two field goals and an extra point, Stephen.
It's not surprising. These things happen with him.
48-yard attempt, and it's up and good. And at that moment, are you thinking, oh, no, the Cowboys are going to win?
No, I was laughing because I knew everyone else thought so.
Tom Brady knew what was about to happen. You see the look on his face. Brady, Gronk. Gronk had a huge night last night. 8 catches, 2 touchdowns. That's a 20-yard gain. Here's a huge play. The 24-yard pass to Chris Godwin. Did you believe this should have been offensive pass interference, Steve?
Yes, it should have been offensive pass interference. But these things happen.
There is no flag on the play. Again, you see Godwin, a little extension of the left arm. That sets up Tampa for the game-winning field goal. Ryan Suck up from 36 yards away. It's up, it's good, and they win. The defending champs make it 31-29. Dak threw for 403 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brady threw for 379 and 4 touchdowns. And let's get into it. Stephen A. Smith and Ryan Clark is here.
Yes.
But Stephen A., the world is dying to hear your reaction to this thrilling opening night game.
Very, very predictable. Very predictable. First of all, I want to congratulate both the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for giving us an absolutely marvelous game. It was thrilling. It was suspenseful. It was all of those things for everybody else, including Marcus Spears, who took the liberty of FaceTiming. Swaggoo to those of you who watch him on First Take. The man FaceTimed me while I was in bed, okay, to let me know, oh, I'm going to get you tomorrow, the Cowboys, after they hit the field goal, right, and they took the lead. And I was like this. There's a minute and 24 seconds left, and Tom Brady only needs a field goal. Did you not learn from what you saw in the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers when all he needed was a first down or two? They don't learn. And this is what it is. It fits right into my narrative about the Cowboys. We're making a big deal that they scored 29 points. The offense was moving the ball all night long. Kellen Moore did a fabulous job play calling. Dak looked absolutely spectacular as far as I was concerned. Mid-season form, considering the fact that he was hurt and he came back and this was his first game. But I'm looking at it and I'm saying, excuse me, you got Ezekiel Elliott. You got an offensive line, even without Zach Martin, is pretty damn good. And McGovern obviously filled in. He has some troubles, but nevertheless, he showed up. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Michael Gallup. You got Amari Cooper. I'm supposed to be moved that you had 29 points. The question is, are you going to win the game? What is your defense going to do? And even though the defense wasn't as awful as we saw them historically be last season, in the end, Tom Brady had the ball with a minute and 24 seconds left, and all he needed was a field goal. It's laughable to me that people sit here, and they're like, oh, my goodness, did you see the Cowboys? It was a great game. Did you see them perform? Did you see what they did? I mean, we have to be so moved. Really? That's where we are? This is exactly what I told you. It plays right into my narrative. Dallas Cowboys should win the NFC East. Dallas Cowboys, quality football team, an elite offensive team. But what do I always say, Ryan Clark? Just wait. Take your time. Something will happen. And Zerline misses a 31-yard field goal, a chip shot. Oh, by the way, Dak Prescott took a sack before the half. Okay, oh, by the way, that same Zerline missed an extra point, too. I just watched it. I was like this. Do you not see? This is more of the same. The difference is, instead of ruining your season in September, the Cowboys have given you every indication they'll make things interesting past Christmas. But in the end, wait. Just wait for it. What can go wrong will go wrong. And that's exactly what we saw last night, which is of no surprise to me.
Ryan Clark, what'd you think?
I don't even know what to say. I mean, he didn't even come in as Texas Steve. This is actually Stephen A., who is this happy about the Cowboys just being the Cowboys. But even though Stephen A. said all of those things, I know that he saw Dak Prescott. I know that he saw what the Cowboys can do offensively. And I do think they showed us that they're going to win the NFC East, that they have an opportunity to compete. And also, too, when you watch that game last night, it doesn't give me the feeling that the Dallas Cowboys have before. There is no feeling that you want to see this team. There's no feeling that even if this team comes to your stadium during the playoffs, that you won't be scared of what this offense can do. The defense has to get better. The defense has to make stops. And they were historically bad last year, which is why we feel good today. We can't judge this team on week one. We have to watch them go forward. There were some positives, but it was still a loss. And we have to look at it that way.
Stephen A., I want to show you something because we have received a tweet from a friend of the show. Sure. He is a regular tweeter of this program, and that is Tad Prescott, Dak's brother. And I have it here it is. Wow, Dak actually getting some respect this morning on Get Up. All I've heard are these same guys' bad mouth and doubt. About time y'all open your eyes.
Right.
Well, that's not necessary. As Tad well knows, Dak has a lot of supporters on this program and some who don't.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Mad respect to him looking out for his brother.
Right.
Respect where you're coming from in all seriousness.
Always.
If you're going to call and chime in, could you at least show us the courtesy and respect of being honest? Don't lie on us. We all respect the hell out of Dak Prescott. We all have raved about Dak Prescott. We all were pushing for him to get his money, which he so richly deserved.
Yep.
And I personally was furious when he got hurt because I was scared that that was going to be used as an excuse not to give him his money. We can hate on the Cowboys all we want to, but to Mr. Prescott, the brother of Dak Prescott, just tell the truth. That is not the case. Dak Prescott gets a lot of love. It's them damn Cowboys who do not.
Let me ask you this, though. For those, did he elevate last night? Which is to say, I think there were two camps. To Tad's point, there were some who thought Dak was merely a good quarterback and some who thought he was a great quarterback.
Okay.
Did the good people, the people who thought he was merely good, do you think that should have been elevated by what he gave you last night?
It should have been elevated, but let's put everything in the proper context. And let me be very clear and honest. All of these guys here are more qualified than me to answer that question. Rob, Sam, Ryan, even Dan covering the NFL as extraordinarily well as he does. Let's understand something here. Whitehead was hurt. He didn't play, okay? You got the cat. Was it Bunting that separated his elbow? Yeah. That separated his
Murphy
elbow.
Bunting.
They were decimated in their secondary. That's why Cockrell found himself in that situation with Amari Cooper and Enzo. We understand that they were at a disadvantage secondary-wise. Their front seven is elite. Their secondary, not so much. And when you consider the fact that the real strength of the Dallas Cowboys offense, at least at this particular moment in time, is their ability to throw the football because they got three wideouts who can hurt you big time, the reality is that you got to take that into consideration when you're thinking about Dak Prescott throwing the football 58 times. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking at as the season progresses and you go against defenses that don't have those problems in their secondary, then come talk to me. Until that time, Dak Prescott is a damn good quarterback tinkering towards greatness, and we didn't have any questions about their offense. It's that damn defense we had questions about.
Let me say one more thing to you, because I have to let you go, and he can't hear Ryan, just by the way.
When by the way, I don't have to hear Ryan, because I know Ryan agrees with everything I said.
Well, go ahead. I want to tell you what Ryan said this morning. RC said this morning on this show,
yes,
the best quarterback on that field last night was Dak Prescott, and that if he needed one of them, one of the two quarterbacks, to win this year, going forward this year, he would go with Dak Prescott over Tom Brady. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, he's wrong. Secondly, and more importantly, even though he's wrong, you know, his knowledge of football is supreme. But Ryan is very particular. You know, he recognizes the greatness of the Tom Brady's of the world. But Ryan, you don't know this about Ryan, so I'll give this to you. Because, you know, Ryan's a good-looking dude. You know, married with kids and all of that stuff. You know, in his 40s, trying to look like he in his 20s. And he's partial and prejudiced to dudes who are younger. So he looks at Dak Prescott and he says, excuse me, he's younger, and because he's younger and he can throw the football and he's got requisite weapons, you know, here it is. And let's not also forget the fact that even though Ryan is fair and objective, he's not the kind of guy that's just going to remind the world that, like, Dak Prescott's got CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, and Amari Cooper, that brother Antonio Brown is just getting started.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so you got Antonio Brown.
I said that this
Mike
morning.
Evans. All right? That's what I'm just telling you. That's what I'm saying. So Ryan's a little prejudiced in favor of youth. You got to remember that about Ryan. He's always going to go to youth.
He's always
about the youth movement. Because you know why? Because Ryan Clark loves the kids. He sure does. And that's what that's about.
Man, take me off this TV, man.
Because he's got the kids. Again, the new first take. Who's today? Oh, today's Tim Tebow.
Yes, sir.
Tim Tebow
My
on
friend.
This Friday. Yes.
My friend.
That's
Tim right. It's very, very important.
Going head to head with you?
Well, he's going to try, but, you know, he's such a nice guy, you know, that, you know, I'm going to try to be nice as well. I'll try. I don't know if I'll pull it off.
Wait, I'm told we have another response from Tad Prescott. I'm carrying on a lot of conversations here. I never lied, Stephen A., nor was I speaking to you. I was specifically speaking to the former Steeler and Patriot who have repeatedly doubted him.
Whoa!
This is getting serious, Stephen A.
I even talked about Tad this
That's
morning.
That's not a former Patriot. Ryan's not a former Patriot.
No, Ninko.
Oh, Nick. Oh, yeah.
No, that was with the contract.
Ninko, who said this morning he's going to go out and buy a Dak Prescott jersey.
May I leave? I want to take the little bit of time I have left to give the floor to my brother Rob Ninkovich because he got some business to handle. That brother just called you out. You got to handle that.
What
you
got to
handle
say?
That.
Listen, I was with the Cowboys on the negotiation thing because I said, hey, I want to see what's going on moving forward with the injury. And guess what? I'm going to go wear a Dak Prescott jersey. I'll go wear number 4 because now he has won me over and I love the man and I will watch him every time he plays. So listen up. I know it's brotherly love, and it's your brother, it's your blood. I'm sorry if I ever doubted him.
Don't apologize.
Just saying, hey.
I ain't saying sorry,
no
apology. I don't apologize.
I ain't saying sorry, Tay.
Please.
Football season is back.
Yeah.
Stephen A. and Tim Tebow and company. Thank you, Stephen A.
All right,
First
Joe.
Take in 18 minutes here on ESPN. We have tons to do between now and then. Jam-packed on this Football Friday. Coming up, we're living in a world, or are we, where Baker Mayfield can outplay Patrick Mahomes on Sunday? We're talking about it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, as all heck continues to break loose on our set here on Get Up this morning, we have this breaking news just into our newsroom. The Ravens, according to our Adam Schefter, have just agreed to a one-year deal with Latavius Murray, and which is obviously something that was precipitated by all of the injuries they've had to their running backs, namely J.K. Dobbins and then yesterday Gus Brett.
Gus Edwards,
who was lost for the season with an ACL. So they bring in Latavius Murray. He will be added to that running back room. Meantime, wake-up call. What a classic last night.
Far side hash by Ryan Succop to win it. Good snap. The spot. Here's the kick by Succop. Is it good? It is good! Box win! Box win! Box win! We beat the Cowboys 31-29. How about them Buccaneers defending the Super Bowl championship?
That was an unbelievable night last night, an unbelievable game. And again, Tad Prescott is carrying on a conversation with us as we go here. That is Dak's brother, in which he says, wow, Dak actually getting some respect this morning on Get Up. All I've heard are these same guys badmouth and doubt about time you all open your eyes. Look, Dak Prescott has been, as we bring everyone into the conversation, he's been an enormous topic of conversation on the show over the last 2 or 3 years, and we have a lot of different people who come on. Some of them have been steadfastly in his corner from the beginning. Others, I think, needed to be convinced along the way. RC, I had to sort of interpret there because Stephen A. wasn't able to hear you. He didn't have an earpiece in. But I wanted you to pick up the thought that you had at the very beginning this morning, which is just how impressed you were with Dak's performance last night.
I was impressed because it was different this time, right? We've seen Dak play extremely well going back to his rookie year. But last night, he was toe-to-toe. And sometimes it's about your opponent. When you think about, you know, individual combat stars becoming megastars, it's sometimes based on the people that they're fighting. Well, when you're on the field against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending champs, and when the quarterback on the other side is Tom Brady, and he's absolutely playing outside of his mind at 44, and you're still the best quarterback on the field, and you're still the guy who is willing your team to an opportunity to win when you're missing field goals, right? When you don't have a run game, I think that's what stood out about me. And then some of the sideline shots of Dak imploring his offensive linemen, of Dak encouraging his team, the confidence that he exuded from the beginning of the game until the end, that was different to me. Dak was no longer a dude that looked like he was playing to prove to people that he was the one, that he was playing to prove to people that he should be the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He was playing like a guy that had already done that, like a guy that knew that walking onto the grass. And with every play and with every snap and with every call and with every pass, he proved it over and over again. This is a dude that's going to move into the conversations with the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, the Tom Brady's, and the Aaron Rodgers. And we're going to see it week after week after week.
Yeah, I was that kind of impressed myself. And Sacho, let's not overlook all of the obstacles that he overcame. This is a guy who the last time he took a hit, his foot wound up with that gruesome injury. And then he was barely able to throw the ball all during training camp with all of that. And he's playing without his best offensive lineman. He did all the things RC is talking about under extraordinary adversity.
Yeah, and that just goes to show his mental toughness, right? In football, we talk about it. Yes, it's a physical game, but it's 90% mental. So when you walk on a field with the confidence, like, I'm that dude, I don't care who's on the other field. I don't care if it's Todd Bowles, Tom Brady, I don't care who's on that field, I'm going to dominate. And then you do it. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's that self-efficacy, that confidence, and then you do it against one of the best defenses in the NFL. There are no limits right now for Dak Prescott.
It's been doubted so much he doesn't hear it anymore, right? His brother hears it for him. But he's out there, like, he was sure he was going to be fine. Like, we talk about, you know, would they have run the ball to protect him? The Cowboys weren't worried about protecting him. They were more confident in him than anybody else on the outside was. And I think he showed that they were right.
It's true. He proved a lot of people wrong last night. Because while I've always been something of a Dak supporter, I did not think he was capable last night, based on all of the circumstances working against him, of that performance last night. And you opened the show today by saying you're going to go do a little shopping, Rob Ninkovich.
I'm going to go get a jersey. But you know the one thing that stood out to me the most was his eyes, was Dak's intensity that he had in the helmet. They'd show before the snap was coming. Every single time I saw him, even when he was on the sideline, he was intense, and he was making sure that he was doing the right things to try and make his team be in the best position to win. And my hat's off to his performance. I think he did a great
job.
Whatever
you thought the Cowboys were going to be this year, do you now think they're going to be better?
Yes.
Based on that performance last night?
Yes, I think they're going to be better, yes.
I think a lot of people came away feeling that way, and I'm raising my hand because I'm one of them. All right, I'm going to break quickly on that thought. We have much more to do. And then, of course, First Take is coming up at the top of the hour with a whole lot more. Stephen A., of course, back and better than ever. Any doubt about the Bucks? He's debating Tim Tebow, Deion Sanders, and Eddie George on the way. First Take follows us on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Don't miss tomorrow afternoon ABC College Football Triple Header, highlighted by number 10 Iowa, number 9 Iowa State, 4:30 Eastern. And then primetime tomorrow night in the Big House, it'll be Michigan and Washington. You can watch all the games on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, time now for the first of the season, Greeny's Picks. Steelers, Bills, rumors of the demise of the black and yellow have been greatly exaggerated. Ben will be better, the weapons are elite, and the defense has been a given for 50 years. Take the points, Buffalo 30-28. Jets, Panthers, a.k.a. Sam Darnold Super Bowl. After being sabotaged for three seasons in New York, his supporting cast is much finer in Carolina. Zach Wilson is going to be great, but this is a sneaky tough place to start. Carolina 31-17. Cards, Titans. The number on this game scares me because it isn't nearly big enough. Tennessee has a top five offense, improved defense, and they're playing at home. Give till it hurts. Titans, 37-23. Browns, Chiefs. First of two meetings. That's right, I said it. They'll see each other again in January, and that one will be awesome too. I'll give the opener to Mahomes in overtime, so take the points. Dolphins, Pats. The Bama Bowl. Tua versus Mac. One team has a lot of questions. The other has found the answers. However good you think New England is going to be, they're going to be better. Belichick's boys bring it, 26-16. Finally, Bears, Rams, Justin Fields won't get to see the bright lights of Hollywood, and that's just as well, because Aaron Donald is no way to welcome a quarterback to the NFL. LA's a legit contender. They'll prove it. Give me the Rams, 23-9. So those are my picks. Now let's do our Monday headlines here before we make way for First Take and have everybody predict what we're going to be talking about Monday. Dan Graziano.
Jalen Hurts, four total touchdowns in an Eagles victory in Atlanta. Mm. I think Hurts is in for good stuff this year.
Wow. You think they're going to beat the Falcons in the
opener? Yeah, well, Falcons. They play any defense down there?
I don't know. A lot of people are sort of high on Atlanta, I feel like. The Graziano Gazette likes Jalen Hurts. All right, Sacho, give me the Monday headline.
Yes, Winston wins as Saints shine and shock the Packers. Ooh. Yes, I think Jameis is going to play lights out and beat Green Bay in his debut in New Orleans as a starting Saints quarterback.
I really like that pick. Again, this game is being played in Jacksonville because of the hurricane in New Orleans. And this will be the first opportunity for Jameis in this offense. I like that pick a lot. Rob Ninkovich, give me the Monday headline.
Well, the Bears super fans are going to like this one here because I think Justin Fields is going to relieve Andy Dalton. I woke up this morning, I saw Statue of Liberty out there, and that's what Andy Dalton's going to be in the pocket of the statue. So, listen, Justin Fields is going to come in, and the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. There it is.
I love it. That's the pride of Joliet, Illinois, Rob Ninkovich, with the prediction. RC, give me the Monday headline.
The Monday headline will be Dan Orlovsky will be in studio giving his friend Matthew Stafford the way too early MVP award. Matthew Stafford's going to play well. Sean McVay's going to be excited to unveil his new toy. And we're going to elevate him because it's against the Chicago Bears. And we're going to walk into the get up meeting on Monday morning. And Dan's going to say,
Give him the MVP right now.
I think that is a safe bet, no matter where which way it goes. Guys, this was just such a delight to have everybody back here together again, coming off of what was an amazing night. Hope everybody enjoyed the game as much as we did. Hope everybody enjoyed the morning as much as we did. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back and better than ever Monday. First Take starts now.